Chapter 10. Giants are people too. It's getting dark, so we decide not to climb up the beanstalk tonight. We'll have to wait until morning, which means another night without Prince. I miss him so much. His little paws, his soft fur, his cute little face. I can't believe we traded him. What were we thinking? Luckily, we're still okay on time. We have to get home by noon tomorrow, but we can do that. It's tight, but we can do it. Hopefully. When we get to Jack's house, Ada comes running outside to ask Jack why there's a giant beanstalk in the yard. He tells her everything. Well, he leaves out the part about the giant's castle. He just says that we climbed up the beanstalk and found a bag of gold coins waiting up top. I mean, that's sort of true. I can tell Jack feels bad about lying to his mom, mum, but it's probably smart not to tell her about the giants. She'd be pretty worried about that, and then she definitely wouldn't want us going back up there. We go inside the house, and Jack shows his mom the sack of gold coins in the wheelbarrow.
"Wow," Ada says. "Thank goodness you kids got those magic beans after all. Sorry I doubted you, Jackie."
She gives him a big hug. I could use a hug. A prince hug. Boo.
"Well, look around, kids," Ada says. "This is the last time you'll see any of these shabby furnishings. We can even move to a nice new house, Jack," she adds. "You'll have a proper bedroom."
As Jack and his mom talk about all the things they'll finally be able to buy and all the meals they can't wait to eat, Jonah and I get into bed. I want tomorrow to come fast so that I can get the goose, give him to Devon, and get my dog back. We're coming, Prince. The next morning, we wake up at 6 a.m., which is also 6 a.m. in Smithville. Good thing every hour at home is 7 hours here, or we'd be in trouble. Jack's mom makes us small bowls of porridge, and then we head back outside to the beanstalk. We told Ada we were climbing up again today to check and see if there were other gold coins to be found. Like last time, Jonah climbs up first. Then I do.
"Good job, Abby," Jack calls up to me from below.
I smile down at him. He smiles back. "Focus on the mission, Abby, not the boy." So back up I go. Up, up, up. When I start to see the different colored clouds, I know we're getting close to the top. Once all three of us make it up to the top, we go running down the cloud walkway to the castle. Then we pause at the front door.
"What now?" I whisper.
No way am I knocking on the door this time. Philippa probably knows we took the coins. She won't be happy to see us. And forget about Magnus.
"I hear voices," Jonah says. "Coming from around the side of the castle."
"Shh," I say, holding a finger to my lips.
"Let's go see."
I tiptoe to the end of the house, Jack and Jonah right behind me. We all peer around the side. The two giants are in the garden. They're both kneeling down in the clouds and pruning rose bushes.
"Smell those beautiful rose petals,"
Philippa says, breathing in the scent. Magnus sniffs, and we can hear it all the way from where we're crouching. Oops. I sure hope he doesn't smell us.
"They smell wonderful," he says, "and they're beautiful like you,"
he adds, giving Philippa a kiss on the cheek.
"Oh, you," she says with a big smile. "Such a romantic."
Are the giants being sweet? My parents get all lovey-dovey like that sometimes, and I pretend it makes me ill, but really, I kind of love it.
"Aw, they're cute," Jack says. "Surprisingly so."
"Right?" I say. Then I remember why we're here, to be goosenappers. Ugh, I hate that we're stealing from them. They don't deserve this. We watch as Magnus plucks a flower and slips it into Philippa's hair. Then he gives her another kiss on the cheek, and they rub their giant noses together.
"We're doing it to get Prince back,"
Jack reminds me. Sometimes you have to do something wrong to make up for something wrong. Know what I mean?
I think I do, Jonah says.
Me too. Jack is right. Besides, we have no choice. We rush back to the front door. The giants must have left it open when they came outside. They are really bad with safety. It's like they're asking for us to rob them. In the kitchen, I listen for goose sounds, but then realize I have no idea what sounds a goose makes. Like a duck? I definitely don't hear quacking, or anything, really.
Let's try the bedroom, Jack suggests.
We go down the hallway and sneak into the giant's bedroom. They have an enormous bed the size of an Olympic swimming pool. Above the bed is a huge photograph in a gold frame of Magnus and Philippa on the dance floor. Philippa in a wedding gown and Magnus in a tux. One wall of the bedroom is full of massively tall bookcases stuffed with books. In front of the window is an easel with a big canvas on it and paintbrushes in a bucket beneath it. Someone has been painting the multicolored clouds outside. Magnus and Philippa seem like such nice, regular giants, besides the eating children part.
No goose in here, Jack says, looking around. Let's try the living room. Or maybe the goose has her own room, Jonah says. She does lay golden eggs, after all. She certainly deserves her own mansion, never mind her own room. Smart thinking, Jack says, winking at Jonah.
Jonah's whole face lights up.
I'll check the other bedrooms, Jack says. You guys check the living room.
As the three of us leave the bedroom, I look at the photographs lining the walls of the hallway. Magnus and Philippa doing things together, out to dinner, walking in a park, floating on a cloud. I frown. We shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be walking into their home and taking their stuff. It's wrong. Plain and simple. Guys, I say, turning to Jack and Jonah. They stop and look at me.
What is it?
Jack asks me. This isn't right, I say, feeling choked up. Even if Magnus eats children for snacks, it's his house, and we're in it. Eating kids for a giant is like us eating chicken fingers.
Chicken fingers aren't really fingers of chicken, you know, Jonah says.
Yes, Jonah, I know that. But chickens are still animals, just like we are to the giant. We wouldn't want someone stealing from us just because we eat animals.
Jonah frowns. We wouldn't want chickens stealing from us?
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean, Jack says. But do you want your dog back or not?
Of course, I snap. But it's still wrong. Magnus has nothing to do with Devon and Prince.
Well, the giant has the goose, Jack reminds me, and Devon wants the goose. Therefore, we're here to get the goose.
Just try to keep your focus on the most important thing, which is Prince. Ugh, I hate what I'm about to do.
Fine, let's just get the goose and go, I say.
But I don't feel good about any of this. Also, is the goose going to be giant-sized? If so, how will we smuggle her out of the house? Jack goes into one of the other bedrooms, then comes out and shakes his head.
No goose in there.
He goes into the next room.
Or in there.
We all go into the living room. I don't see anything goose-ish, like a goose bed or goose food. Not that I know what geese eat. Bread? Fish? And I don't see any golden eggs. Where could that goose be? I ask.
Thud. Thud, thud.
Uh-oh. The thudding footsteps stop.
Fee, fi, fo, fum,
Magnus chants.
I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he alive or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread. Thud, thud, thud.
Ah, the giant is coming, and we didn't find the goose.
Abby, Jonah cries.
Is that the harp? I look where he's pointing. Yes, a golden harp is on a stand in the corner of the living room. The harp is massive, 3 times the size of me. Jack rushes over and puts the harp on his back.
Let's go, before the giant gets us.
How are you holding that? I ask. You're going to hurt yourself.
It's surprisingly light, Jack says. Come on.
But we can't leave without the goose, I say, or Devon won't give us Prince.
Devon will probably want the harp, Jack assures me. It's gold. And it sings on demand,
Jonah reminds me.
Even better, Jack says. Cool, Devon will definitely want it then. Thud, thud, thud. Fee, fi, fo, fum,
the giant begins.
Oh, not that again,
Philippa scolds.
I knew I smelled children the other day, Magnus says in his booming voice.
I hear a cabinet in the kitchen opening and shutting.
Uh-oh. And I was right, Magnus says, because someone stole a bag of my gold coins. They must be back. Search the house.
Ah! We have to hide, I hiss to Jack and Jonah.
We go racing behind the huge couch. It's the size of 10 SUVs stacked on top of each other and at least 20 SUVs long.
Thud, thud, thud.
Magnus is coming.
Abby,
Jonah, Jack says. The minute Magnus comes in, sneak along the back of the couch to the doorway, then run out. We're so little compared to him that he won't see us.
Okay, I say.
It's a good plan. Even I have to admit that.
Sniff. Sniff, sniff. Fee, fi.
Magnus begins.
Oh, wait, I already said that, he adds.
I peek around the couch. Magnus is stepping farther into the room. Jack, Jonah, and I scoot to the far side of the couch.
Now, Jack whispers. Run!
Jonah and I hurry behind him, trying to help him hold up the massive harp, which is not as light as Jack said it was. We all go racing out into the living room and into the kitchen. We make it and hide behind a broom that's leaning against the wall.
Sniff, sniff, sniff. Philly?
Magnus calls.
Am I losing my mind? I swear I smell children, but I don't see them anywhere.
Oh, they probably left already,
Philippa responds. Her voice is coming from the bedroom, which means the coast is clear.
Don't get yourself all worked up, honey bunny.
Honey bunny? Really?
Let's rush out of the house now,
I whisper to Jonah and Jack. I take one more look at Honey Bunny, a.k.a. the giant. He throws his hands up in the air and looks upset, but at least he's not coming after us. Jack slings the harp over his shoulder, and then the three of us go rushing out the front door and down the cloud walkway.
I sure hope the traitor wants the harp,
Jonah says as Jack jumps onto the beanstalk and slides right down. Jonah follows, and I slide down right after him. Finally, we reach the ground. Yes! We go running to the market, but after the first hill, I have to take a break. Jack, holding the harp, is sweating. Jonah is raring to go. After a few minutes' rest, we run to the trader's house. The harp is not light. We are all sweating. Totally out of breath, I knock on the trader's door.
Woof!
Prince barks.
Woof, woof!
Prince, I call, my heart leaping at the sound of him.
We're here. We're going to take you home.
The door opens. The gold chain is up again and keeps the door open just an inch. I can see Devon's brown eyes and his nose and part of his mouth.
Do you have the goose that lays the golden eggs?
Devon says. I bite my lip. Here's the thing. We couldn't find the goose anywhere, but we did find this, I say, pointing at the harp in Jack's arms.
A harp?
Devon asks with a scowl.
Why do I want a harp? I'm not musical.
I can't even carry a tune.
The harp does the work for you, I explain. It's a gold magic harp that plays beautifully on command. Devon raises an eyebrow.
Let's hear it.
Harp, I say, play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. The harp begins to play all by itself. The melody is so beautiful that Devon's eyes get misty with tears.
I love that song, he says, dabbing under his eyes. That was just lovely, Harp. Thank you.
The harp plays a note as if saying, you're welcome. Devon's eyes gleam. He looks very pleased. Yes, he's going to accept the trade.
But it's not the goose, Devon says, turning away. No goose, no prince,
he shouts, shutting the door in our faces.
Again.